Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, we are not talking about the legacy part so much this week. More the I guess you're going to drill down more into the spiritual aspects.
Yeah, I'm kind of doing both of them, aren't I? I'm kind of taking both of them and combining them up, squishing them up.
Combining them, as we last week talked about your recent mission trip to Indonesia, and you kind of want to expand on why an accountant, an estate planning person, goes to Indonesia on missions trips.
Yeah, that's
right. What are the reasons for this, Paul?
Well, and part of that, it does kind of play right into the word that we're going to talk about today, which is legacy. What do I want my legacy to be? Do I want it just to be about estate planning, or are there other things in my life that I desire to leave behind and really make sure that there is a mark on the world more than just a bunch of estate planning documents out there? Now, I am not demeaning or making what I do as a job less important. It's just that there are other things in life that may drive people, and missions and proclaiming the gospel, making sure I live a life of integrity, these are things that likewise drive me as an individual. I am very motivated to be an excellent attorney, to do good work, but life is far more than just my work. And so therefore, there's other things that I want to talk about. And a legacy is actually a really important word for me because it really does cross over into both the realms that I touch, which is the estate planning documents. In my system, we have a circular wheel, and at the back end of that, there is a settlement process, and in that settlement process, it moves towards legacy. So the last thing on our circle is it ends up being a legacy of what you leave behind. Now, the reason it's a circle is because the next generation has to take that legacy and take what you have created and move it and perpetuate it. So, legacy is really never an offboarding. It's really a circle. Mm. And so I have it within my firm life, and it's actually front and center with everything that I do. I'm driven to help people create a legacy that will stand beyond just money. But if we're going to create a legacy in estate planning or in our lives that is more than just money, then we also have to look at the scriptural side, the spiritual side of our lives, and tap into what does it mean to leave a spiritual legacy, and kind of blend these back up and tie them both together. Mm. So today's show, we're going to talk about legacy. It's the Legacy and Faith Show. So like you said at the top, we're going to take both of these and we're going to really merge them in what does it mean it to legacy to me, but also what does the scripture say about it?
Well, what does the scripture say about legacy? That term, do you have some actual scriptures that go along
sure.
with this?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, and I'm not so sure you're really going to find the word legacy in scripture.
But the idea is there.
Yeah, but there's definitely a strong thought process about what does it mean to leave legacy. And I really believe that the nature of God is perpetual. And so therefore, the vision he gives you, the wealth he gives you, it's not intended to die with you. It's actually intended to be handed off to the next generation. And hopefully, as a parent of two, I want the next generation to take what I start and build off of it and run with it faster and better than what I was ever able to do so. And I know that a lot of parents have that idea. Or if you don't have children, the idea of handing off legacy to other ministries or other individuals so that they can run with what you've started. Mm. But maybe a very common place that we start is Proverbs 13:22. And scripture says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So the word says inheritance. It doesn't use the word legacy.
Right.
But in that word inheritance, I've heard people try to mix that up and say, well, I'm going to leave a good spiritual inheritance. But that's not what this is talking about. This word inheritance actually means possessions. So in the Hebrew, if you look up the root word, it's talking about inheritance. It's talking about what you hand off. It's actually talking about physical inheritance and possessions. This is not really talking about the spiritual side of raising up your children in the way that they should go. There's other supporting scripture that we are to leave a good spiritual legacy as well. But this scripture is not talking about that. This is talking about what is in your hands. So a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So unless you have a generational viewpoint, in other words, a viewpoint of what does it mean to leave a legacy, then we can't fulfill this scripture. And so to think about how do I leave things to my children's children is a thought that we actually don't sit down and pray through and actually think through. So that's always my first call to action, which is, have you sought a good God about what you are supposed to do with what he's placed into your hands? Mm-hmm. And so you've been given control. You've been given stewardship over what is placed into your hands. And so my first instinct is reach out to him. Communicate with him. He wants to tell you his heart and his passion. And so therefore, with faith, we can turn on and have listening ears towards that small, still voice within us, and we can get his download of how we are supposed to perpetuate this scripture, which is leave an inheritance to our children's children. And it goes on to say, but the wealth of the sinner or the wealth of the unrighteous, other scriptures say the wicked, is stored up for the righteous. And so this is a scripture that is talking about what we have, our possessions, to leave long-term. And then I'm not so sure that there's a lot of discussion about this second sentence in the scripture. And so I want to tear that apart as well. But we got to get kind of to all of our different definitions before we get to there.
Well, okay. Well, what does the Bible mean when it uses the word good man? What does it mean to be a good person?
Yeah. So the next part of our definition, we have to look at what does it mean to be a good man. And to find out that, we got to switch over to Psalms 112. And here it says in verse 5, a good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with this discretion. And so here we have some of what a good man does based upon Psalm 112, which is he deals graciously and lends. And that word discretion is a really important word. It really means that you're going to be guided your decisions, not based upon your emotions, not based upon what someone else tells you to do, not based upon just a good idea, but something that is done with wisdom. And we find wisdom in a multitude of counsel. So therefore, wisdom is not just found within yourself. As a matter of fact, the times in my own personal life that I've made errors, that I've tripped up myself, is when I rely upon myself, when I'm just thinking about what I, Paul Grant, can do, or what the best wisdom that I have. That's really not what this scripture is talking about. Rather, your affairs are guided with discretion is really talking about a wisdom of others and a wisdom, a reflective, well-thought-out plan that is then implemented versus responding to the current situation. I know that life can get difficult sometimes. And specifically, if you're a small business owner like me, it seems like there's just pressure after pressure that builds up in life. Maybe you're going through family difficulties, and that adds pressure, or marital difficulties, that adds pressure. Maybe you have financial difficulties. Boy, that adds pressure. I've been there. And sometimes we respond out of the circumstances, and ultimately it ends up not being the best decision. So that word discretion also has a flavor of something that is well thought out, something that is balanced and something that is implemented over time instead of the knee-jerk reaction. So when I get caught into my emotions and make a decision based upon my best wisdom, or worse yet, out of my emotions, now that's where I start making decisions that may not have my long-term legacy in mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get out of a circumstance. I'm trying to get out of a situation instead of making long-term best decisions. As a business owner, I try to think about the decisions I make in light of, am I going to still like this decision next year and in 2 years and in 5 years? And if the answer is no, then I'm probably making a decision based upon the circumstances instead of what's in my business's best long-term interest. And I'm not so sure that's not bad advice for us as individuals mm-hmm. as well, which is, am I still going to like this decision next year, in a couple of years, and in 5 years? Am I still going to have a great relationship with my wife if I let this come off of my tongue? Mm-hmm. What is the long-term result? And when Psalms 112 says that that a good man guides his affairs with discretion, it's that wisdom and it's that long-term, slow, good process that this is really talking about. Mm-hmm. What else is the sign of a good man or a good person? So if you're a woman listening, not leaving you out. Scripture is not leaving you out. It's talking about a good person. So throw yourself into the mix. I'm just reading the verbatim. So what else for a good person? Well, they disperse abroad as well as what verse 9 says. So that really lends to what I'm talking about, which is vision. In order to have something that is outside of yourself, it takes vision. It takes walking in vision. It takes a long-term vision to actually set up something that influences beyond your ability and within your own sphere of influence. So in order to have an impactful life, it takes vision. And that's what I think that this scripture is also talking about, which is a good person has dispersed or made influence abroad, far more reaching than just what the people around me I can do. So that was not well spoken, but I think everyone understood what I meant, even in a lousy sentence that came out of my mouth. So one of the reasons I go to Indonesia, one of the reasons I do missions, one of the reasons that I try to live further than just myself is because I want to have a broad impact. And it's, yes, because it's what I believe I'm told to do, but in that, I have a vision, I have a purpose. It's something that is not just off the cuff. I'm just not trying to get frequent air miles, even though that's a nice benefit. I'm really trying to make sure that the long-term vision of what I do with business owners and in Indonesia has lasting effect, not just a quick hit effect. It's great if I can influence people and influence their current decision thought process, but really what I'm hoping is that by good business principles, by giving them strong business and biblical principles, they will be able to implement them, receive and expect the blessing of God in their life, which will then bring in more into their life. And by that, they will be able to stabilize their family. When we can stabilize families, specifically in third world countries, specifically in places where it's more daily living, when we stabilize a family, then all of a sudden we can start to stabilize social economies and social values. Then people can lift their head, start giving generously, because that is another attribute that is also found in Psalms 112, which is a good man gives to the poor, so they're generous. And that's what we want to do. We want to lift people up so that they can be radically generous and demonstrate the characteristics of a good, good God. So there's some of the background between what does it mean to build a legacy? Well, it's far, far more than just the money I can leave, but yet it is also directly tied to that. And I'll bring some of that more into a good connection when we come back from break.
Okay, some of the heart of Paul Grant this week on the Legacy and Faith Show. What is legacy? We'll return in just a moment. people are interested in your approach to this subject, how do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Yeah, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. You can find past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and also keep up on my missions work, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Definitely applying practical principles to spiritual issues. This week on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant, Mark Holland, along with Paul. And he was just on a mission trip recently, so he's definitely thinking about spiritual ideas behind estate planning. And you wanted to connect again some of the practical aspects of an inheritance and being a good person and how that fits in with our planning.
Yeah, so the main scripture we're using is Proverbs 13:22, that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And we've kind of now pulled all of that out. We've defined a little bit of what a good man is from Psalms 112. But it's the second part, but the wealth of the wicked or the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. And I think there's a disconnect here that when we see that, we almost think that God is going to steal from somebody and put it into the hands of somebody who can be responsible. But that's not what God does. So let's tie that up and kind of give a more practical approach, that someone who is walking as a good man and as Psalm 112 says, is righteous, then that individual is going to be well established. They have a good reputation. As a matter of fact, then they have the protection of God and they have the blessing of God upon their life. And similarly, they have a good reputation in public and they have a good reputation amongst their peers. So the wicked, though, are on a different path. The individuals who are not going to implement honesty, integrity, and walk according to the things that God says is good and right and just, well, eventually their path is going to burn up. They are going to trip and they're going to fall, not because of God, but because of their own actions, because evil lends to evil. And what they have or the opportunities to create wealth in their life, they are going to lose. Again, it's not going to be taken from them. Their own actions are going to be their own stumbling block. And because they are not acting in an honorable, integrous manner, then that wealth and that opportunity is going to come to the doorstep. It's going to come to the feet of somebody who is still standing, who has been acting with integrity and has been acting righteous. And so that wealth that was actually in someone else's grasp and is now lost is going to be transferred to someone else who is there. And that's a righteous man. That is a righteous woman. That is a righteous person who is following after the heart of God, who is demonstrating wisdom, who is demonstrating generosity, who has a good reputation in the community. So ultimately, a wicked man's deeds catch up to them, and there's an opportunity then for someone else. So we've heard the phrase, we got to seize the moment. Well, that's really what the opportunity is. And when you respond as a good man, as the scripture says, then there's more opportunity. And oh, by the way, then that actually wraps up Psalm 112, which is, it starts out, is blessed is the man who fears the Lord. And verse 3 says, wealth and riches will be in his house. And his righteousness, or his good deeds, his actions, his name will continue and endure forever. And so there is a distinct correlation in Scripture that when you are above board, when you act with integrity, there is going to be opportunity not just to be a good person and to teach your kids to do right from wrong, but because you are standing, there's going to be opportunities presented before you to now take that were not there before because someone else has faltered, because someone else tripped up on their own feet because of their unrighteousness. And it really brings, I hope, a greater clarity to that issue in Psalms 13.
Okay, well, tie up some more of the scriptural ideas then with the practical. How does this work practically?
Yeah, so let's take that to the next level. So I'm acting in righteousness. I'm running my business. I have opportunities to bring more into my family. I act with prudence and with wisdom, like Scripture says. And now all of a sudden, I have more in my bank account. I have more at my disposal, and I'm generous with it. And actually, that's what New Testament word stewardship means. It means an administrative giver. So those who are actually looking with their head up to say, how do I give more? How am I more generous with what God has put into my hands? Then all of a sudden, that turns on a reciprocal generosity that we receive. So we keep building and building. Well, that kind of brings me back now to the practical side with what I do on a daily basis, which is every single person, specifically when you are blessed, should be doing really good estate planning. Because when we do something that is good and practical, how am I going to hand what God has blessed me with off to my two girls? Well, there needs to be a strong structure. How do I get something to my children's children? Well, one way is that I give it to my kids and just put it into their hands. Statistics tell me that well over half of that is going to be used and spent on just whatever my girls think is best. I love my kids, but God has put that into my hands and has given me a vision for long term. So legacy starts with long term vision. The first practical step I mentioned at the beginning was then seek out your Heavenly Father and ask Him, how am I supposed to do this? What is the long term vision, God, that you want to perpetuate with what you've put in my hands? And it may be simply put everything in the hands of your kids. Fantastic. At least you have a clear direction that you feel is from your Creator, and that is a good thing. Others of you may actually have a different call or a different ping in your heart to say, I need to be radically generous. I need to leave some or a lot or anywhere in between to other organizations and other places that are going to be using what I give to them to continue to push forward the vision of the kingdom. Now, that can happen in a lot of different ways. And there's actually different podcasts we've talked about of how to be radically generous in estate planning. One idea is that you add generosity as another child. So I have two kids. And so maybe I add generosity as my third child. And okay, if I think through it, then that leaves a third, third, and third. Others have the idea of, well, I want to do a final tithing off of my estate when I die. And so I want to give 10% to charities or to different organizations that I believe in and assist with a final act of giving. So generosity, again, a sign of a good person, can be a part of the estate plan. But none of that can unfold. Your vision can't unfold if there is no written plan. And so the Scripture says that we're supposed to take vision and write it down and make it plain so that people can run with it. So therefore, if we don't have a vision, then there's nothing to write down. But when we have a vision and it's not clearly articulated in a good estate plan, would be my perspective, then it's very difficult for the next generation to run with what was handed off. And if they don't have a clear vision, then they'll just use it for whatever they think is best. And that may or may not line up with what you felt it was supposed to do. So how do you leave something to your children's children? You have a vision, you've heard it from the Father, and then you write it down and make it plain so that the next generation can run with it, and thereby it has the greatest opportunity to perpetuate generationally. So what is a legacy? Leaving a legacy is the opportunity to perpetuate wealth, wisdom, and vision. And that's really what Psalms 112 did, and that's really what good estate planning should do as well. It should perpetuate wealth, wisdom, and vision.
Some of the heart of Paul Grant this week on the Legacy and Faith Show. You like his approach to this subject, leaving a legacy. He'll help you write your legacy.
That's right.
In his estate planning services. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's upcoming educational opportunities, past podcasts, ways to communicate with us, and even the opportunity to follow what I've been doing spiritually and on missions, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.